Back on Michael, you're listening to the Michael Dresser Show. Michael Mudzalewski with us, the author of Wildlife, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. He was born in Cleveland, where his father played professional football with the Browns. Then he graduated from Indiana State University with a BA in journalism. On assignment with national publications and as a field correspondent for October Life TV, he visited over 30 countries, specializing in subjects of wildlife, adventure travel. He's the author of Angeles Crest, about ultra-marathon running and metaphysics, North Through Paradise, describing varied adventures in Alaska, Inside Through Paradise, and it goes on and on. And this is somebody who has traveled and he's seen it. Michael, hi. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Michael. It's an absolute honor to be here.
Oh, and thank you so much for being here. You know what? It really comes down to it. All of the places that you saw, what kind of an experience was it for you? And when I say what kind of experience, it's getting away from Cleveland, from the city, from everything that you've ever learned. All of a sudden, you're thrown into a completely different world.
Well, you know, I was so in over my head. I first went to live on a wilderness island. And as you know, that inside passage, 1,000 miles from Puget Sound, Washington, all the way up to Glacier Bay, the most scenic, beautiful country on earth. But Jack London once wrote that Alaska can kill a person in about 1,000 different ways.
Yeah.
You know, it can seduce you with beauty, but if you're not prepared, it can do you in. So when I first went to live there, city slicker, Cleveland, Ohio, I'd only been camping twice before in my life. Nothing on the resume, you know?
Sometimes that's
the best. Ignorance is bliss, because if I knew what I was getting in for, I probably wouldn't have done it.
You know, it's very interesting. I remember, you know, I spent 20 years in the interior, and I remember when I came down to the Milwaukee area where I'm at now, it was winter, and it was dark out, and I was walking outside with a T-shirt on. You don't do that in Alaska. When it's winter there, it's winter, and it's 40 below, and that's the end of that.
Well, what's the coldest you ever were in Fairbanks? Would you get down to like 60 below?
50, 55. You know, that's about the coldest that I've been in. I'll tell you what, if you don't have something over your face, it stings it. But like anybody else, you get used to it. The cars had automatic starts, so if you're in a restaurant, if you're somewhere, you hit the button on inside, you know, and it warmed up for you. The only thing that you didn't want to do is get stuck somewhere, but luckily, it was at a time when if you did get stuck somewhere, somebody would pull over and help, and not worried about anything bad happening. It was survival, and we took care of each other.
Right. See, that's the thing about Alaska. It's like the lower 48 used to be during the pioneer days.
Yeah.
Everybody pitches in and helps build each other's cabins. They raise the kids. You know, it's just such a communal, friendly place.
Absolutely. No question about it. And I really, I spent all that time up there. It was the one, I've never been in any place that long in my entire life. So for me, Alaska basically was home. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned in a place like that. There's a tremendous amount of lessons to be learned. And the difference in the people, it's friendlier, it's safer. It's one of those things where, you know, if something happens, the first thing you can do is help somebody.
That's exactly it. And it's comforting to know that you can depend on the people around you.
Now, for you, how long was that transition? When did you catch on that this was another life? And at what time did you start to enjoy it?
Well, as you know full well, that first winter was a big test, because the Inside Passage doesn't get much snow there because it's kind of Japanese current maritime climate, but it rains. It can rain in Ketchikan over 200 inches from November to February. So you're looking at 13 feet of rain, and the winds are ferocious in the winter because the Inside Passage is much like a wind tunnel. So it can blow 80, and the rain, you know, hits the windows of your cabin like BB shot.
Sure.
It's just pushed sideways. In fact, I'm in the cabin my first winter just trying desperately to survive. And the wind got inverted. It was so strong, the wind got inverted down the stovepipe of the airtight wood stove. It blew the top of the stove off, swirling around inside the stove. And as you know, there's an open air valve to regulate the oxygen going into the stove to regulate the heat. Well, I had the air valve about three quarters open. A tongue of flame, like a blowtorch, shot out my stove and I'm sitting 4 feet away at the kitchen chair. It set the wooden chair on fire with me sitting in it. I mean, you feel like you're under attack from the elements in your inside your safe home, you know?
Unbelievable.
And of course, it's just bad weather, but when it gets dark, you know, at 4 in the afternoon, and, you know, the wind is shaking the walls of the house. There were many a times that first winter I thought of calling in the Coast Guard or a float plane to...
By the way, you did this alone, didn't you?
What's that?
You did this alone, didn't you?
Yeah, there was a man who owned the island, but he wanted to disappear for like 6 months at a time because he had never been able to find anybody crazy enough to sort of caretake and watch over the place. But I was a writer looking to write my first book. And I said, Will, no matter how bad it gets, I'm staying because I want to write about this place. I mean, Alaska, British Columbia, it's so multidimensional. There's so much. You could spend 10 lifetimes. In you know, write every day about new experiences there.
One of the things I remember the most, I had a river boat in those days, and I remember going down the Yukon, up the Yukon, and as we're going up the Yukon, you could see bears running along the beach, right? Well, they couldn't get to you because you were in the middle of the river, but going down, you know, the rapids, going down the rapids and doing all of those things, it's just something that you never forget. You know, and the boat was great. It held about, you know, 6-7 people, and we'd get 3 or 4 boats going, and then we'd camp out in the wolves, you know, at night, very close to where you were camped, and you could hear them. And it was just kind of an experience somebody being brought up in Los Angeles would never think they would get. I got there with polished shoes and polished nails. That lasted for about 4 days.
And, oh, my God.
Yeah, Michael, 30 years ago, I couldn't spell a hammer. Now I own 5. I can fix anything.
That's great. And, you know, isn't that, it's just like every day up there, I lived a year worth of experiences because there's just so much variety. There's so much challenge that goes on. And I love to live that way. If I don't learn something new every 15 minutes, I get restless.
Oh, I hear you. And by the way, which was interesting, your transition, you go from there to Cosmopolitan Magazine's Bachelor of the Month, and I think, and then the Alaska Men Magazine Centerfold story. I think what would bother me about that, living alone for as long as you did, and then you go to Bachelor of the Month, your first date, you'd have to have a manual if you could remember what to do on a date.
Well, you know, I know you've heard this saying, but the ratio to males to females living in the Alaska BC wilderness, there's 10 men out in the bush up there for every one female.
Yeah.
And in fact, the gals up there in Alaska have a great saying. They say, yeah, the odds are good, but the goods are odd.
Yeah.
You know, you got all these lone wolves twitching around and mumbling themselves and all that. So I had no dates, no female companionship for close to 2 years.
Wow.
And I'd be out there on the beach howling with those wolves, you know, during the full moon. Just the loneliness when something beautiful happened. I just wanted to wrap my arms around, preferably female, and jump up and down. So I write my first book, and I got very, very lucky. HarperCollins, one of the big publishers in the world, New York City, decided to publish the book. I had to leave, you know, the wilderness, come back and do publicity. And for some reason, I will never figure out, Helen Gilley Brown, who passed away about a year and a half ago, it took Cosmopolitan from a little magazine, put it in 100 countries around the world, translated in 87 languages. Every month they have a bachelor, a single guy. They put his mug in there, his picture, with an address to write to. So I come back, and I go from famine to feast. No dates for almost 2 years in the wilderness, and there's 5,000 letters, emails, lingerie, naked pictures. It was like every man's fantasy.
Yeah, I got it. I got the picture. She says, kiss me, and you say, what do I do now? Oh,
and
but
you know
what,
Michael,
remember.
I didn't want to do it. I said, Cosmo, I said to the publicity, the head of publicity at HarperCollins, I said, Cosmo, I've seen that magazine in the dentist's office. You know, it's about makeup and orgasms for women. And I said, it seems kind of silly, and I want to be taken seriously as a biologist, you know, especially in my first book. And Janet said, Mike, you can't be a writer living on an island anymore. You've got to push books like they're boxes of soap. Get real, my boy. And if Helen Gurley Brown will mention the title of your book, Away We Go. And sure enough, she did. So all these women that wrote to me kind of knew me because it's nonfiction written in the first person. But I didn't know any of them. And I mean, it was frightening at first. you know, just having like every man's fantasy, you know?
Sure. Oh, my goodness. But when you really come down to it, strangest Cosmo Girl experience.
I got a phone call one Sunday, a collect call. And, you know, being curious and adventurous, I said, sure, I'll accept the charges. Hi, Michael. This is a prisoner in Florida. And I just want to tell you that it gets so hot and humid in our jail that sometimes it almost rains inside the prison here. And she goes, you probably don't want to talk to me because I'm incarcerated. And I go, you know, Dolores, sometimes bad things happen to good people. And by the way, what are you in for? Third-degree murder.
Oh, good.
So I'm going, this is getting more interesting. And she says, I must tell you something. I was walking to the exercise yard the other day, and your picture in Cosmos, somebody ran it off on the copy machine in the office. Just about every girl from cell to cell, as I'm walking down the mid-passageway, has you as a pinup on their cell wall because you're in the snow. You have a sled dog kissing your cheek.
Oh, great.
You're this fantasy guy to sweep us away like Rapunzel in the tower and take us to a fresh new world. And I'm my mouth fell open. I didn't know what to say.
Oh, I would have.
And at the end of the conversation, she goes, by the way, I get out. I'm released in a couple months from prison, and I need a boyfriend bad.
I would have got a tour of the prison. Oh, man. You know, when you really come down to it, there's so many things that you get. Now, where are you living now?
I spent half my year up in Alaska, and the other half when I married Paula. And that's the great thing about the experience, is something I thought would be frivolous actually brought me a wife, a life partner. So we have an office down here in Florida. Paula's a flight attendant for United, so we fly all over the world for free. When we were dating, I had no idea. If you marry a flight attendant, you have free tickets for life.
Yeah.
So when we were dating, she threw a T-shirt at me one day, and she said, and it said across the front, marry me, fly free.
I love it.
And I would have married her if she was a banker, if she had 2 week vacation a year. But man, when you take away air travel, that's the most costly part of going anywhere.
Oh,
you know,
absolutely.
Hotels, rental cars.
You know, moving from Alaska to, I lived in Florida at one time. I mean, now we're talking about a major difference in, you know, in living and being and whatever. But the experience, Mike, the experience, there's nothing that could ever take that away from you.
Yeah, and I go back there. I pick my moments now because, like, when the killer whales are feeding on herring in the springtime, I'll go up there for a week back to the cabin in the island. And, you know, I lead safaris in Africa. Life has kind of taken me in many directions, but that's the true spiritual home there that I return to, you know, to rejuvenate. I turn the phone off. I get my writing done out there. It's just, you know, it's where I vibe the highest. It's the spiritual home of my soul, I think, as you know.
Sure. Now, by the way, did you take Paula there?
Oh, yeah. She loves it. In fact, she amazes me. She can go from high heels to hiking boots in a snap of her fingers.
Now, by the way, did she see it in the winter or the summer?
Both.
Oh, great. Okay, so she knows.
In fact, I always tell people, like any Alaska guy that brought a girl up there from the lower 48, you know, through Alaska Men magazine or whatever, I said, yeah, you're seeing it on August when the sun's shining and it's 70 degrees. You got to come back in February. Before you put that ring on her finger, or, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, great.
It's two different worlds, you know.
Yeah. Now, by the way, Mike, we could talk about this forever and ever, but we're just about running out of time. So let me ask you this. Website we can find you and the books.
Website is Michael Modzelewski, which is kind of a hard name to spell. So to make it easy, if anybody would be so kind to go to Amazon.com, type in two words, separate words, wild, LIWLD, and life, LIFE, The Misadventures of a Cosmo Bachelor. It'll take you to my author page where my bio and all the social media and all the books are listed.
Wonderful. And by the way, thank you so much for joining us. I love the interview.
Michael, I got to buy you a beer sometime. We have many stories to swap.
Ah, you're on. Okay, take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. It's an honor. Thank you.
Such as Mexico, Sweden, Hawaii, Japan, and Capri.